Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Steve.
Yes, sir.
Wesley, Ed, and I think I speak for all three of us. We don't want to talk about Iran.
What?
I said, we don't want to talk about Iran no
where's
more.
Where's that? What's Iran?
That's what we want to hear.
Don't you get him started.
I don't know what that means.
We don't want to talk about Iran.
That could be counterproductive. He may start explaining it to you.
I think that was a song from the 80s, wasn't it? Iran so far away or something. Remember that?
Yeah.
I know
so
you don't remember.
Far
you were,
away.
You and me were. But I just remember that was a pop song from the 70s or 80s, I should say. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. If we're not going to talk about Iran.
Which we're not.
Yeah.
We've all agreed this half hour. Steve, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you. I think what we're going to talk about is the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Oh, yeah.
So yesterday, when Congress calls hearings, and the Southern Poverty Law Center is up at Capitol Hill yesterday and today, and they're talking about the allegations that they are paying these hate groups that they list on their map, they're paying some of them to continue the hate because the demand for racism and hate far outpaces the supply. So they need to foment this stuff.
Gin up business.
Right. They need, right. Well, so yesterday, the president, Brian Fair, was in the Senate. Today he's in the House. And I want you to hear this interaction between Texas Congressman Brian Gill. He is an upcoming superstar, young kid. And listen to him talk to Brian Fair and ask him a question. This is about abortion. Now, he doesn't raise his voice. He is as calm and cool and collected as the other side of the pillow. But he puts Brian Fair into such a bind that the Democrats on the panel have to come to his rescue. Listen to Cut 16.
Your organization said that restricting and banning abortion is a tool of the far right uses to maintain white supremacy. Do you believe that pro-lifers are white supremacists?
I believe that reproductive liberty is...
No, do you believe that pro-lifers are white supremacists?
I will tell you what I believe if you're asking.
Yes or no?
I can't answer that question, yes or no.
I don't think that pro-lifers are white supremacists. Do you?
What I think is that reproductive liberty is a right that every woman should enjoy.
How many babies in the United States that are aborted are black? About 40% of abortions nationwide are of black babies. Blacks represent about 13% of the population. Does that sound like something a white supremacist would oppose?
What I would say again is that SPLC supports reproductive liberty.
Calling somebody a white supremacist is a pretty serious charge, isn't it? I would think you would be able to defend that if your organization says that. You clearly seem unable to.
Mr. Gill, I'm not sure why you would think I'm unable to do
because
anything.
Because you're the president of the SPLC, which labels pro-lifers as racists.
Well,
does your organization just hurl around epithets like that without any justification?
Mr. Gill, what we do is
I'm giving you the opportunity to
you're
just
not giving
Mr. Chairman, what's he referring to, and can he let the witness
the
answer
belongs,
the question? This is outrageous.
No, it's not. The time
allow
belongs.
Him to speak.
I know you
what
don't
do
you, like
what
my
are you
question.
Referring to?
I know
belongs,
you don't like my question.
What are you referring to,
time
Mr.
belongs
Gill?
To the gentleman from my Texas.
Time. Yeah, by the way, he wasn't stopping him from answering. Like, I just didn't
he
have an answer.
He couldn't answer.
That was brilliant. That was
yeah, they need to find a new spokesperson. Maybe that guy would do better in the mailroom, or or maybe even a PR, you know, answering people donors' questions. But he doesn't need to be the.
Well, I'm thinking anybody that runs up against Brendan Gill might find themselves better in the mailroom.
No, the reason he was couldn't answer the questions because it's unanswerable. Because if he does answer the question, he's going to disagree with his own organization, which he's there to defend. So it's unanswerable.
And it's an indefensible charge for the SPLC to make.
Yes,
and he points that out by saying that a white supremacist would want black babies aborted.
Right.
But pro-life people want all babies saved.
Right.
So therefore they can't be white supremacists.
And
that was brilliant.
And the fellow was trying to work through in his mind how do I answer this without disagreeing with my own self?
Right.
And he couldn't come up with it in a good answer in time.
That's what's called being on the horns of a dilemma.
Yeah. On the horns of one.
Yes.
Two horns.
That's right. Okay. Horns.
Double horn.
Either way you go, you're getting gored.
Anyway, listen, what was the congressman's name? Who was
Brandon Gill.
Well, he's
only 32 years old.
And he is he's on the bench. He's a rising superstar, I think.
He's younger than Wesley.
Is that right?
Brandon Gill is 32 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Sure is.
What are you doing with your life?
Well, you know, since you asked.
Coaching baseball?
Is that it?
Coaching baseball, and this guy's a congressman. Does that make you feel good about yourself?
I feel really small right now. Wesley, you're doing God's will. That's what you're doing.
Wesley, your dad just put you on the horns of a dilemma. I don't think
Don't let anybody tell you.
I want to get back to the horn on the
All right, hold
horn
on just
thing.
A minute. I don't want anybody emailing me and calling me and say Tim is degrading his son's life, and I was only kidding around. I was only joking.
But if you want to email him, here's his email.
Well, no, you don't give him my email. I would just say everybody should grow where God plants you.
Right.
You like
bloom
that?
Where you're planted.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Balloon.
Well, not balloon. That's what happens if you go to the buffet too often. Talking about bloom.
Ed, we
where
don't
you're
have
planted.
To make this an issue of weight. We can just stick with the facts. Okay.
I think all people are beautiful, no matter what they weigh.
In their own way.
Yeah.
All right, Wesley, go ahead. The floor is yours.
I want to get back to the horn thing. With the tip of the horn?
No, it's the horns of a dilemma.
I've heard the word, obviously, I hate dilemma, but why would you add anything to just, hey, it's a dilemma?
What is the origin of horns of a dilemma? I'm asking.
It's a baby boomer expression, I think.
It's because horns getting gored by a bull, for example, is painful.
Right.
Which one are you going to get gored by? So the dilemma is, no matter which answer you give, it's going to hurt.
Okay,
so let me help y'all out. We're stuck between a rock and a hard place. Could we just do that one?
How about pick your poison on this? Go ahead.
I have an answer from ChatGPT.
Bring
the
it,
phrase,
Steve.
Horns of the dilemma comes from an ancient logic and rhetoric rather than from farming or bullfighting. The dilemma comes from the Greek word, the medieval scholars called this a horned argument. The two alternatives were imagined as the two horns of a bull. Whichever horn you grab, you're in trouble.
Right. There. See,
thank you. It's what I said.
Yeah, that's what he said.
And you didn't have to ask ChatGPT.
Right.
You could have just asked me. I'm smarter or as smart.
We're going to
ask AI.
EdGPC.
EdGPT. That's what we're going to call
GPT, you.
EdGPT,
whatever
GPT.
It was. Which was a good automobile, by the way, back in the day.
The GPT.
GPT. A lot of kids had those back in the day.
Think we need to get back on track.
I think we need to get back on track. You're listening to Today's Issues. We're getting back on track. Anyway, you get the idea now, Wesley, the horns of a dilemma?
Now I get it.
Okay. All right. So, Wesley, Ed, Tim, and now Steve. Steve, back to you.
All right. Southern Baptists are meeting in Orlando, Florida for their annual meeting. This is where they basically, it's the only time the denomination is actually in. These are independent churches. But for these 2 days, the SBC is doing their. They send messengers, what they call messengers, to Orlando, and they will vote on different resolutions and do SBC business. Well, they elected a new president. His name is Willie Rice. He is the pastor of Calvary Church in Clearwater, Florida, and he called me about 45 minutes ago, about an hour ago now. He called, and so I had a chance to talk to him, and I wanted to share a little bit of what he had to say. I asked him what the state of the SBC, how he feels it's going, and this is what he had to say. Cut 15.
There have been some stresses in the last decade in SBC life that have created both the appearance and in some cases the reality that there were some things that weren't as grounded as they needed to be. There were concerns messengers had. And I think over the last couple of years that they've sent the message that, you know, the Southern Baptist Convention is not eroding. We're not equivocating. We're enduring. We're standing. We want to be a people who are rooted in our conviction, in our mission, in our message.
That's who?
That's Willie Rice, the new president of the Southern Baptist Convention.
So new, just elected?
Yesterday.
Okay.
Or today, actually.
The Southern Baptist Convention, they meet annually.
They do?
As a denomination. You're right, they are independent churches, but they're still a denomination.
They are voluntary they are a denomination, but they voluntarily cooperate. In other words, the Methodist denomination owns the Methodist Church buildings, and they set pastors. They will almost every denomination will assign pastors to churches. This is a voluntary cooperation. Either side can terminate the membership at any time. And
but they've been but they meet annually is what I'm saying. And is the presidency do you know it lasts 1 or 2 years, or is it only is it annual?
It lasts 1 year, but it's kind of an accepted 2-year term. In other words, they'll vote again, and nobody will run against Willie Rice the second.
I got
plus
you.
Something. Huge
I got
happens,
you. So
but.
Anyway, so they so what? So he is. Is he considered a? What is he? You know how they he's right. The Southern Baptists have had their differences within themselves,
right.
Over theology and
theology, some sexual
and leadership and other
sexual
things.
Abuse scandal.
Are they? Is that all calmed down pretty much now?
Yeah, and that was he's considered a conservative. Conservative and liberal are not the same. I mean, there's no liberal. There's not even close to liberal. Like who we think of a liberal and like Democrat liberal. But he
you mean
is
in the Southern Baptist.
In the Southern Baptist, these are all conservative. These are all Bible believing pastors. Everybody that's on the tickets and everything, very conservative. But he is more theologically conservative. I had a chance to talk to him about. He said SPLC, the ERLC, which is the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. He said he admitted had not been serving the denomination well over the last years. They've resolved that. They now have that in line. The sex scandal that the Houston Chronicle ginned up. I'm going to say this because there are. Sex abuse is terrible, and it is a problem, and it happens in Southern Baptist churches. But it doesn't happen in Southern Baptist churches any more frequently than it happens in schools or every other way. And it is nowhere near what the Catholic Church went through, where they were moving around priests.
Right.
So I will say that the sex abuse scandal was weaponized and used against the Southern Baptist Church. They've gone through that. They put some things in place, maybe needed changes in place, but they're past that. So now they are going on. It's a new day at the SBC, and things are looking up.
That's real nice, Clark.
I would say
real nice.
My only comment is my wife and I have made some serious steps towards eating healthier, and Willie Rice is a lot better for you than just plain white rice.
You know what I'm saying?
It's more fiber content.
See,
so
I don't know. I try to keep this show serious.
He had a very positive, good thing, guys, and y'all just just
he did. He did.
No, it was positive. And let me just say this:
I got you.
He brought it.
That a lot of there were some inroads. I think Willie Rice has said this in some of the interviews he's done. That in the wake of the George Floyd fiasco in 2020, there were some woke attempts to move the SPC towards a more quote-unquote progressive kind of direction. But as Steve pointed out, the conservatives seem to have rebounded.
All right.
So...
Next story, Steve.
All right. Clearwater, Florida.
Clearwater.
Yes.
Well, that's just where the pastor was from you just mentioned.
Oh, no, that's right. This is in St. Charles Parish, Florida. I'm sorry.
Where is that? Do you know?
It's in
People, you're going to want to listen to this story, even if you've been
as opposed to what the other.
Well,
things
even
we've
if you've been bored
about.
The last 5 or 10 minutes with what we've talked about.
You know what? I'm going to take this back. It's in Louisiana.
It is Louisiana.
It's in Louisiana.
Oh, I thought I told you it was in Florida. My bad.
I was also taking. All right, Florida
listen up, people. Listen to the story.
All right, Sheriff Greg Champagne in
what now? Drinking champagne.
Sheriff Greg Champagne has awarded a prize to one of his deputies who happens to be an alligator.
Where's the sheriff? Where's this fellow the sheriff of?
He's a sheriff in St. Charles Parish. So there's a gentleman named Victor Rivas who was driving impaired and ran into a bridge and got his car messed up so that he couldn't drive it. The police were chasing him. So instead of just giving up, he jumped off of a little bridge into a swamp, started running away, and got attacked by an alligator. And so the deputies had to rescue him from that, at which point they arrested him. So the sheriff has...
Is this funny, Ed?
Yes,
you're about to
is.
Laugh. This man almost got ate up by an alligator. You think it's
funny?
He's
fine.
Well, he's fine.
Okay.
But and he's going to tell the rest of the story. But as folks are listening, I want you to consider doing what I'm going to do.
Okay.
Which is the next time my wife and I babysit, I'm going to use this let that be a lesson to you, to my grandchildren.
Okay.
Don't run from the cops.
You don't run from the cops.
Okay.
Don't worry about not getting confronted by the cops. That's okay. Just don't run from them.
You'd be out of the cruiser into the
especially if you're in Louisiana.
Jaws of an alligator.
You're going to have to run through a swamp.
So
I
tell
think
us
a jail cell is more appealing.
Tell us the rest of the story.
There's a picture. I'll give this to Brent to put up on our page. There's a picture of the sheriff giving this alligator, who is decked out in a sheriff's deputy outfit, obviously AI, but he's giving him a reward, and he the sheriff, his statement says, the alligator was not injured and has since returned to its regular patrol of the swamp.
That's hilarious.
Is it funny? It is funny, isn't it?
What the sheriff did, I don't think the man almost being eaten by an alligator is funny.
If he had been eaten or even lost a limb, I would not have laughed.
He was not seriously injured.
It's almost like a biblical thing is what I'm talking about.
No, I agree.
You know, the Bible does say that during the day of the Lord that people will fall into a pit, and when they climb out of a pit, a bear will grab them, or they'll lean their hand on a building and a snake will bite them.
Where is that in the Bible?
It's in there.
Okay.
I'll tell you. Since you've asked.
It's in there somewhere. If it ain't, it ought to be.
I'm going to find it now that you've questioned me.
All right.
Go ahead with the rest of that.
It would have been more fitting, though, if this would have taken place in what y'all thought had been the state, which was Florida.
Yeah.
But
alligators are in Florida, too. But they're in Louisiana. So to recap, a man in Louisiana was trying to, let's see, his car...
He's driving drunk and drunk.
He's driving drunk, so that's terrible. And while impaired, say he tried to escape across the swamp because he didn't want the cops to catch him. He was running from the cops.
He was.
And he jumped in the swamp. An alligator got him. And that's when the sheriff's deputies caught up with him, right?
That's correct.
So.
And since I was questioned, I would like an opportunity to respond.
Please do.
Amos 5:19. When God comes, it will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear, as though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall only to have a snake bite him.
What does that mean?
It means that you cannot escape God's judgment.
Right.
Even if you run, even if you get away from one punishment.
You can run, but you can't hide.
See,
Wesley, what I did there,
that's
learned
right.
That one, too.
Is that an idiom?
An idiom?
Or an idiot?
Or an alligator, one of the
other.
This
guy was an idiot.
Yeah, he was an idiot. Anyway, he went to jail. He was driving drunk. That was his first big mistake. The sheriff said the alligator was not injured, as Steve said, and returned to his patrol of the swamp. But the funny thing that got my attention was of this was the sheriff's department put a picture up of the sheriff giving an award, Deputy of the Year, to the alligator.
In the uniform.
And the alligator has the sheriff's deputy's uniform on. Can you put that on our Today's Issues Facebook page?
Now, folks should understand that we're having a little fun with this.
Yeah.
So please, And give this guy's name, this the guy who got did some alligator wrestling.
His name is Victor Rivas, 40 years old. And
for
he is
Victor, pray for him because God spared his life.
Yeah.
He needs to reconsider his ways.
That's
give
right.
his heart to Jesus.
He's being held on a $17,000 bond.
So if any of you feel led,
he'd rather be held by a bond than an alligator mouse. I'll tell you that right now.
James
Am I right
Bond.
About that?
Yeah, you're right.
Amen.
You're right. You're right.
All right. 5 minutes left, Steve. What do you got?
All right. Hey, Bruce the Alsatian dog is fine. I know you were worried about him. So Bruce the Alsatian and his owner.
Is that a kind of dog, a breed of dog?
Alsatian is a kind of
dog. So we got a dog. To establish the facts of the story right now, we got a dog named Bruce who's an Alsatian.
Alsatian.
Okay.
And he and his owner were near the Farne Islands in England, and they were playing in the ocean, and the owner, which I don't think we have his name, the owner's name, but the owner put Bruce on a little inflatable kayak, and they were playing around, and the kayak got away from the owner and went out to sea. In fact, 3 miles out, the dog was trapped. The dog was trapped on this kayak 3 miles out of the ocean. And so they called the Coast Guard, whatever the British version of the Coast Guard is, and they went out and they found the dog, and they rescued the dog.
Amen.
And the dog will be okay.
Bruce the dog.
Bruce jumped off of the kayak and tried to, he was a little scared, a little freaked out, so he tried to swim away.
Traumatic.
But they grabbed him by the scruff of the neck, rubbed him onto the boat, and he's going to be.
I never heard of a dog named Bruce. Have y'all?
Well, just don't let me down. That's all I'm going to say.
Westy, you have to play
that
song.
I'm hearing a Beatles song in my head.
No, it's ELO.
ELO, and that even,
oh, it is, isn't it?
It only sounds like Bruce.
It's not really Bruce. By the way, I didn't know this. An Alsatian is the British word for a German shepherd.
Really?
Yeah,
oh,
that's what
okay.
it says. The German shepherd, also known in Britain as an Alsatian. I guess that's because...
Of course they wouldn't want to credit Germany.
But I got to go and buy a German shepherd.
Can you imagine watching your pet float out to sea?
Oh.
You know, and at least it was on a...
kayak.
A kayak, because otherwise it would have drowned probably.
Oh, yeah.
But 3 miles out into the sea must have been one of those, what do you call them? When the
inflatable kayaks,
the undertows,
riptides,
and everything like that. So
if you love your dog enough to take him along with you when you go into the water, you'd be terrified to see him float down the sea.
But the good news is a happy ending to this story. The what amounts to the British Coast Guard went 3 miles out into the ocean and retrieved this dog who was in the kayak.
They did indeed.
Reunited 3 miles.
Yeah.
By water.
Yeah, the kayak floated 3 miles out into the ocean. I guess it's the ocean.
So I know dogs well enough that next time this guy goes, hey, come on, Bruce, we're going out.
Go get him. Yeah, go
Bruce
get him, boy.
He's going to be going, not me.
I'm not going out in that water. I know
you remember the last time?
Right.
You lost me.
Right. But so it sounded like to me they were boasting the kayak maybe at one time.
He was swimming next to it.
Yeah, he put him on the kayak, and guiding the kayak in the waves.
And he got away from him.
And then he got away from him.
I got you.
But we've seen the movies with the dog that talks.
Yeah.
This will be a good movie where the dog, where you can hear what the dog's thinking.
Right.
You guys ever seen the movie Max?
Yeah.
It's about a military,
I've seen that.
Yeah. That's a good movie.
Mm-hmm. That's a good dog
movie.
Yeah.
Oh, good dog movie. That's based on a true story, I think.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the show today. Today's Issue is the name of this program, and you can get it on podcast if you want to at our website. We post the podcast every day at afr.net. My thanks to Ed and Wesley, Steve, Brent, our producer, Cole, our video man, and Fred, our Canadian.
And Jenna.
Yes.
You don't forget Jenna.
And Jenna, our
you interrupted her enough.
Jenna, our American lawyer. We'll be back tomorrow.